Amen. She does that because she loves me. And plus she teaches the kids and she wants to hear what's said. God's laid on my heart to kind of change directions. I like the way he does that because it lets me know I'm not in charge. I have a plan. And God says, so what? You know, it's not your plan that matters. What the church needs more than my expectation of the kingdom and all that kind of stuff is a prayer. Is a prayer life. And how to enter into that prayer life. And today we're going to be talking about preparing to pray. You know that it takes preparation to pray? Now, don't get me wrong. There are those times like when Peter stepped out of the boat, he didn't prepare, right? He was drowning. He said, Lord, save me. Bam, God was there. But if you're going to enter into a state of perpetual prayer, it takes a willingness to prepare for that prayer. Because there's some prayers that God won't hear. My brother often, when we talk about folks praying for us, he says, I want to know who, what God that person is praying to before they pray to me or for me, right? I don't want somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ to lift my name to whatever entity that they're praying to. Now, if you have a, if you are a born-again believer and you trust Jesus Christ, you want to pray for me, praise God, bring it on, I'll take it. But if you're praying to the tree outside, you're barking up the wrong one. You're out on a branch that will not hold you, right? So prayer takes preparation. It takes a focus. It takes a desire to not only bring your petition to God, but when God gives you instruction, to humble yourself and obey what he leads you, how he leads you to. Often, I think, in the church, especially in America, we lose track of that. We think of Jesus in my pocket. I need something. Oh, Lord, bless me, feed me, make me fatter. I don't think that's a good proper prayer. God wants to bless us, but he also gives us a book of instruction, the Bible, which gives us direction on how to be blessed. And the biggest thing about being blessed is not receiving from God, but giving out what God has already given you. It's not looking for a blessing, but being the blessing that God's already given you to somebody else's life, and you will see the answer, the result of a person who truly seeks the face of God and his holiness and his righteousness. Prayer's a little bit deeper, I think, than what we think. We often think is God is great, God is good. Let me thank him for this food, or I pray this food don't taste like wood, or whatever. We'll say those type of prayers, or repeat vain prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you say those words, but you don't really understand or desire the deepening reason for those words, what they really mean. So what is meant by prepare to pray, or how to prepare to pray? If you open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, and we're just going to read a little bit, 3 and 4. That's all we're going to read of this, because he goes into a confession. But anyhow, let's say amen when you get there. And while you're there, quick. He must have had his thumb there already. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. Daniel saying, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and by supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said. And then he goes through the things that he talks about. But he made a preparation for prayer, right? He said, I'm going to set my face unto the Lord. What does that mean to set your face to do something? You make up your mind, right? I'm going to set my face. I'm going to be determined to do this. And before that, you understand that Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah and he saw that there are some things that were going to happen. And so he wanted to know the deeper meanings of the scripture that was written by Jeremiah about being released and brought back into the land. He knew that the 70 years of captivity was nearing the end and he wanted to know what was going on. So he said, I don't understand these things. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask God about them. How many here have read the Bible and been confused? Amen? Set your face to God. Set your face to know him. Set your face to seek him out. Set your face, your understanding that what you read, you just simply believe. Right? I'm setting my face to put all of the other intelligence I have to the side, that I might know the truth of God. Because I want to know His ways. Why? Because His ways are higher than my ways, right? His thoughts are above my thoughts. They're different than my thoughts. And I want to know His will more than I want to know my will. So I'm going to set my face, my focus, my priority, not on what I think He says, but on what He exactly says. And then God will start communicating with you deep and meaningful things to your life. I want to thank God for... you're my stepson. What's your name? Really, I can't call your name.
Sean.
Sean, thank you. I was thinking Xander. I know that's your son's name. So to let you know who I am. I want to thank God for Sean. Not because he's here today, but he fell down a flight of steps this past week that should have hurt him badly. But God was there before him. When that ice storm hit, he has a set of metal steps that comes out of his apartment. God took care of you. God took care of you. You could have broken every single bone in your body. But God said, I love you, and I want you to be on church on Sunday. I didn't know He was coming today. But again, the car wreck that you were in, praise God. Praise God. The times, your life that was spared in a fire just this past week, praise God. Praise God for those things. The power of prayer and the covering of God as we set our face to Him to make intercessions. God does things on our behalf because He loves us, not because He owes us anything. Daniel said, I'm going to set my face unto the Lord, and I'm going to seek by prayer and supplication. I saw four things here. Setting your face, prayer and supplication as one. Fastings as one on its own, and sackcloth and ashes as another thing. So I saw four things here, right, that he set his mind to do. First, I'm going to make up my mind to seek the face of the Lord. And I like that, seeking the face of the Lord rather than the hand of God. Don't get me wrong. If God wants to give you His hand of blessing and His hand of love and compassion, His heart desires to do that. But we want to see God at who He is, how He is. I want to seek His face. And as I seek His face, guess what I'm going to find? His hand of blessing. I'm going to find His hand of blessing because I seek His face. But if I seek His hand, I might miss the reality, the face of God. So seek His face and receive His hand. There's a deep thought to that understanding. So it's seeking the face, prayer and supplication, fasting and sackcloth. So, seeking His face is a determination to know Him. Prayer and supplication is a humbleness, all right? Fasting is a personal reflection. Have you ever thought of fasting as a personal reflection? Why do we fast? Okay, it isn't to make us skinny, although that may work. And it's not to change God's mind about a situation. You know what it does when I fast? It makes me to reflect on my sinfulness and His righteousness. It makes me to reflect on His love and my unloveliness. It makes me to reflect on His righteousness and my unrighteousness. And as we fast, and as Daniel was fasting here, he was looking at that. And then after you reflect on your wickedness, and I won't call it anything but that because that's what it is, your wickedness, when you reflect on that, what does that make you do? Change. Huh? Repent. Amen. It makes you come into a part of repentance. Sackcloth and ashes represents repentance. God, I see who I am underneath the Word of God, and I see that I am needful. I see that I am unworthy of the grace and the mercy that You're showing me. God, I'm sorry because I have sinned against the Most High God. I'm going to tear my clothes. I'm going to put on sackcloth. I'm going to put on ashes. And I'm not just going to repent with my mouth, but my heart is going to repent because of the evilness that dwells within me. I'm going to repent because I broke the law of God. So prayer has a lot of, even in this couple paragraphs here that are verses here that we saw, getting into this mindset of how to pray. First, make up your mind that you're going to pray. Make up your mind that you're going to set a priority over all things else to seek the Lord. Do you know that you got to set that priority out? Who here has tried to just find time to pray? Have you tried to find time to pray? Does that work? Nope. I have never found time to pray. I really haven't. You know what I got to do? I got to sit down and make a block of time out. If I'm really going to pray, I've got to sit down in my mind and say, all right, God, I'm not going to do X, 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 this thing, that thing, the other thing. What I am going to do is I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on prayer. I'm going to focus on your righteousness, my unrighteousness. I'm going to focus on your ability and my inability. I'm going to focus on your will and not my will. So that means I've got to turn off my cell phone. I've got to turn off my TV set, my radio. I've got to turn off the my mind. Do you know that how many times when you sit down to pray, it takes a while to get into that? Because, well, I really need to mow the lawn. I really need to feed the chickens. All these things come up. There's dishes to be washed. One of them was working, Mary and Martha. One of them worked a lot, the other one didn't. Martha, right?
Martha worked.
Martha, right. Martha, you're concerned about many things, but Mary has chose the right thing by sitting at the foot of Christ, right? A lot of things we can get involved in. But God says, listen, I don't want you to be so busy that you miss God. So we need to determine in our heart to make a task of praying. And it sounds difficult that you make a task to pray. I work real good with lists, right? How many men here? Right. If my wife writes a list on the refrigerator, it may take a while, but eventually that list is going to go away. Not because I throw it away, but because I do it. Right. I see what my bride needs, and I say, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And the beautiful thing about my bride is she doesn't say, don't you see the stinking list on the refrigerator? Do something. she
loves me and waits until those things happen. So it's a beautiful existence that me and my bride have.
But she makes a list for me because she knows I need lists, because I forget things. Amen, guys? Have you ever? I was wanting to do this, but I did that. Why? Because this squirrel, right? That was the thing at the moment that I had to chase. But God's saying, listen, take all those things that you think you have to chase and put them to the side. Not that they aren't important, but the most important thing that a Christian has in his armor is the power of prayer. To seek the face of God.
Present your body as
a living sacrifice. Yes, holy and acceptable to God. As a sweet-smelling sweet-smelling aroma, right? And you look at those things. We've got to set it in our mind to do it. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6 and 7, it says, and you can turn there, seek ye the Lord. Amen? Seek the Lord. Do you know I've got to seek the Lord? I've got to look for Him. It's not that He isn't everywhere all the time, but if I want to have an ever-deepening relationship through prayer, I need to seek Him out first. I need to seek the kingdom of God. If you're there, I'll go ahead and read. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. That carries with it a couple of condensations there, a couple of different things, right? Seek Him while He may be found. That tells me there may be a time that if you don't take time to seek God, you may not be able to find Him at your convenience, right? It's not about your convenience. When God calls you to pray, that is when you are to pray. When God says something to you, He doesn't say, well, put it on a back burner, and when it's convenient for you, you do it. God calls you, you do it. And as you do it, God will bless you for it. He says, while He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked... Oh, right. And this is where we're really going to set in this next mindset here. He's talking about pray. Pray while He's near. Pray while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's close to your mind. And He's in your mindset. All right? Then verse 7. This is super duper important here. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Amen? Let the wicked forsake his way. All right. How am I going to forsake my way? Well, first I need to know a different way, right? I need to know the righteousness of God, that my righteousness is not His righteousness. And what I think God is, I need to move from that to get closer to Him. I need to forsake my unrighteous life. I need to forsake my evil, wicked thinking,
I need to get out of my own way. God wants to bless me, wants to teach me, wants me to seek his face, but the only thing that's stopping my receiving from him is me, my wickedness, my unrighteousness. Oh, not every prayer reaches God. Not every prayer, even Christian, if you are harboring sin, if you're harboring unbelief, if you're harboring a hard-heartedness, your prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling right here. But if you humble yourself before God in prayer and fasting and supplication, confessing your sin, asking for his mercy, guess what God's going to do? He's going to hear your prayer, and he cares for you. He loves you. He wants to have this communication with you that is deep and personal and real and life-converting. Man, when you really pray, when you really get into this mindset of prayer, guess what changes? You do. You do. You change. When you're really and truly broken over your sin, you've been fasting and confessing your sin, and you're, God, I see the wickedness that is in me. Oh, forgive me, Father. Guess what you receive? The forgiveness of God. Who I want that in my life. And not just a taste 25 years ago, I want it today. I want it this moment. I want it the next moment. Before I lose my temper about something else, I want it then. I want God's mercy and understanding. I want to confess that to him before it ever wells up in my heart. Oh God, forgive me, a sinner pounding on my chest in the sanctuary of the Lord. Oh man, seek him. I need to forsake the unrighteousness, the wickedness. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. I like that. It's not just what he does, it's his thoughts. Do you know that your wickedness comes from your thought? Amen? I got a brain problem. You know? I have a sinful mind. And God says I need to forsake the unrighteous thoughts that are within me. Then in verse, still in that same verse, and let him return unto the Lord. Oh, repentance, returning back to God, confessing my sin. Oh, that we would really, I pray for revival. And I'm not talking about this thing that happened elsewhere. I'm talking about a real Holy Ghost church-filled revival. And I don't want to put parameters around that, but I do know this. If we don't seek his face, if we don't repent from our sin, if we don't turn with fastings and sackcloth and prayer unto God and make confession to him, we will never see revival. Amen?
And if we don't forgive others.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yes. We got to amen. That's a huge part of this confession, is forgiving people.
Matthew 6 and 14.
Uh-huh. Read it out.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen.
15. I marked it twice and I read it because it's important.
Yes,
it
is.
If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father
forgive you your trespasses. Right?
That's God's
word. So that's God's word. Amen. So you seek his righteousness, and that's part of setting your face towards him, right? God forgave you. You got to forgive other people. God's given you grace. You need to show grace to other people. If you don't expect it. It is, what's that, a reciprocating saw? Reciprocal.
Sawzall.
Yeah. But there's you give, it takes. You give as much as you get, right? You give forgiveness, you'll get forgiveness. You give love, you'll get love. You give the mercy of God, you will receive the mercy of God. Maybe not in this life, but in the life eternal, you will. All right? He says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Thank you, Jesus. He will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. God will abundantly pardon if we seek his face, if we seek him while he is near, if we draw near to him. Daniel and Isaiah set up a pattern here. It's a heart of knowing and seeking God, for seeking not just God, the
the thought of God, but the very image of the living God, the evidence of God within this life. It is an ever-deepening brokenness. As I see the righteous, holy God, I recognize more and all the more my need of Him. Right? Do you understand? When I get God in focus, who He is, the attributes of God, through prayer, through fasting, through sackcloth and ashes, a true repentance, through forgiving others, and I start seeing the reality of who He is and the majesty of what He desires for us, His people, it breaks me. It changes me. It turns, it takes, in fact, thank you, God, it takes me out of the picture. And then it's all about Him. In my prayer life, stops being so much about me. Feed me. Make me fatter. Bless me. Make me well. Not that God doesn't. Well, actually, He says, I know what you need before you ask it. So don't. Pray this way. Father, help me to know you, to know your holiness. I want to know the manifold power and might of the Most High God. I want to see it through Scripture. Then I want to experience it through the living of life. And as I experience it, I come to know Him. And as I come to know Him, I come to love Him all the more. As I see Him for who He is, seeking His face and not His hand. Seeking the reality of God and not just the outpouring from God. Because I tell you this, folks, if you seek His face, you will receive from Him the blessings of God. Getting it all in order and in mind. And so, James chapter 4. If you ain't there, somebody probably already knew that I was going to go there. There's Daniel, Philippians, Timothy, Hebrews, James. The whole thing's good, right? It's all good. And because it's the Word of God. Well, in this, you receive not because you ask not, right? How many here have prayed for something and it just didn't happen? You thought that you really wanted it. See, the problem is we have this idea that God's like this song, tell me what you want, what you really, really want, and He's just going to give it to you. God is not your piggy bank. He just doesn't give you what you want, but He always gives you what you need. Amen? So he puts it this way, verse 1. I've got to start in verse 1, but I'm going to read right through. Whence cometh wars and fightings from among you? I added from is the wrong translation of the Bible in my head. Okay, get this right. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not from hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. He's talking about prayer. All right, now listen to what he's saying. How many of us struggle for things? I want this thing. I want that thing. I want a better thing than what I have. I'm struggling for that, right? I think I'm going to find my happiness in the accumulation of stuff. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God for stuff. Forgive me for this, but y'all may remember the song if you're old enough. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Dialing for dollars, right? That y'all remember, I ain't even going to call its name. But there was a song way back in the 60s that said, oh God, won't you bless me because I want to be blessed. Well, that's not who He is. You're fighting, you're warring for things that is within your members. You're desiring the lust of your flesh, you're not the righteousness of God. And God says, you're not receiving it. Listen, you're even willing to kill, and you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and you have not because you ask not. Verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lust. Oh. Did you see what God just said through His Word right there about prayer? When we're asking for things that are just bless me, make me fatter, fill me up, there's that stupid, there's my opinion about a song on the radio. Lord, fill me up. Fill my cup, right? Lord, fill my cup. And it's on the radio. Well, it was a while back when I listened to the radio, probably 15 years ago. Anyhow, but it's a fill my cup and, you know, the Lord, fill me up. Fill me, fill me, fill me. Does anybody, I hope, yeah, praise God. There's, so I'm not as crazy as I thought. You know, it wasn't a tune in my head, something that God gave me just now. We're looking to be filled, but we're not looking to be dumped out. We're looking to consume these things on our own lust. You know what God calls us from that point? He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is an enemy with God? Wherefore, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit dwelleth in us lust to envy? But we give more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there's a humbleness, all right? This is where I was getting to. Submit yourselves to God, all right? We can stop and talk for a week right there. Submit to God. You want your prayers answered? Seek the face of God. Seek his face. Seek his will. Seek his righteousness. Seek his holiness. Die to your own lust that you only want to consume that on yourself anyhow. With food and raiment, there be content. Right? Be content. He promised you food and clothing. Be content with that. It is, have I gotten to the point in prayer life, in forgiving others, that if all I had was God's word, would I be content there? Would I be so devoid of myself that the fullness of God could live in me in such a rich way that the world could see that my lacking actually is a blessing? That what I don't receive, God adds to and makes that nothing something. He makes the little go long, right? He makes the unrighteous righteous through prayer and supplication, through a repentance of your own. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. All right. This seeking God through prayer, drawing near to him. And folks, I'm telling you, this idea about fasting, that's what fasting does. I mean, I know that there's some physical properties about fasting that's just good for your body, right? And the nurses here, they can tell you because they know that. But on the spiritual aspect, fasting does something much, much deeper than the physical realities of fasting. Fasting makes you keep your flesh under control that you might glorify God all the more, all right? You draw nearer to God as you fast. Right? Now, it doesn't change God's position. You know what it changes is your position. It changes who you are. It changes your mindset. Changes the way that you think. And I was going to save this for next week because I'm talking about fasting next week. But as I was studying a little bit about fasting this week, on the third day of your fasting, what do they call it? The ketos? The ketos or something like that. Keto in your body, it starts, stop dissolving the fat, or unless you're really fat, but it stops doing that. It starts feeding your brain this other thing that it gets from eating the fat that's in your body. Ketones, yes. And so, and praise God, I ought to have him teach. So, because he knows all these things, but I just read this lightly. So as you fast, about the third day that you're fasting, something happens metaphysically in your body that actually changes your brain, changes your waves, your brain waves, makes you think more intelligently. As you can tell, I haven't been fasting. No. But it does. It changes the way you think. It adds, it feeds your brain physically. Well, as it feeds your brain, there's a spiritual aspect to that too. It feeds your soul, right? It takes the lust of your flesh and corrals it. You know, when you fast, you learn that you can control your flesh.
Do you know that you can control your flesh? You can walk in the Spirit and you can control your flesh. Do you believe that? I think you ought to try fasting.
Really do. I think that there's an intimacy and a growth that comes with that. He says, draw nigh to God and He will draw near to you. Then this is super important here. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Glory to God! Really, glory to God!
If I will just humble myself before God, if I will take prayer seriously and start seeking His will, start seeking God for who He is in a humble hunger, a humble hunger.
Thank you.
Because in fasting, it doesn't just make you hungry, but it creates a hunger for righteousness in you on the spiritual side. It is such a fantastic thing to do, to walk in.
And as He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Listen, if you're on the fence, you're double-minded of what you believe, how you believe it, pick a side. Either you'll be warm or cold, but if you're lukewarm, what does He promise to do? Spew you out. He will spew you. He will vomit you. He'll spit you out of His mouth. I don't want to be on that side. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be driven by every wind of doctrine that comes along.
In my early Christian life, I was easily persuaded into this thing or that. Amen? Seven promises of promise keepers, all these men movements and all that. I mean, the promises aren't bad, but it didn't change anything, right? I mean, I've been to revival meetings. Ooh, we're going to make a three-day weekend and have a revival. Wait a second. You don't do that. That's you making a revival. If God wants to make a revival, you know what it's going to take? A people group seeking His face. It's going to take a people group cleansing their hands because they're wicked. It's going to take a people group confessing their sin and truly seeking God with the fullness of their heart that God can fill them with the righteousness of the Most High. You want a revival? Leave your electric guitars at home. Fall on your face before God. Humble yourself. Seek His will. Seek His might. And He will lift you up. Amen? I want to be lifted up by God. Well, God will not lift up the proud. In fact, He says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So what do you want? The resistance of God or the grace of God? Making an honest request to God to honestly be broken because of my sin and to be truly focused on God and not myself. Matthew chapter 6. Flip back there, if you will. Because Jesus talks a lot about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And, you know, I know we call it the Beatitudes. But this, I'm going to use this pun, it truly needs to be your attitude. It needs to be your attitude to prayer. It needs to be your attitude to fasting. It needs to be your attitude towards God. Speaking of prayer in 6 and 5, when thou prayest, do not stand. Excuse me. This is the problem about memorizing the wrong Bible, because you say things incorrectly. And it makes a difference. Words make a difference. The littlest word makes a difference. So what the King James, the Bible says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Amen.
And again, with that same thought in Matthew 6:16, talking about fasting, prayer and fasting. All right. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Back in this day, and I think it's not just back in this day, it's still here in this day that we live. But when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the real religious folks would fast, they would actually take darkening and they would darken under their eyes. They would make their eyes look hollow. They'd put the makeup on their face to make their cheeks suck in like they're just so fasting and they're so poor. I mean, they just got up from a three-course steak meal with potatoes and, you know, carrots, right? And but anyhow, they make the believe that they've been fasting. And they want to be seen by the church folks. Right. You know, hey, ain't I God? Look at me. I've been fasting. Pat me on the back. Boy, I'm so much better than you. I tithe on the cumin and on the cumin and name. I always say that wrong. That's why I don't say it. Okay? So if you know what it sounds like, you know what I mean. So they tithe on that, and they fast 2 days a week, 3 days a week. Oh, I am so righteous and so holy. God says, listen, they've already got all they're going to get. They may have done all of that stuff, but their heart was not right. They didn't set out to fast and seek the face of the Lord. They didn't sit down and humble a supplication, making the request made known to God. They sat down in a manner to prove themselves to men to be holier than others. So when we fast and when we pray, we're supposed to go to a quiet place. When you fast, don't let the world know you're fasting. You just do it. You go to the quiet place. In fact, as Jesus keeps on talking here, and his talking is much better than mine. Get an amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But what's he going to reward me with? What's he going to reward you with as you pray and fast? Well, I'll tell you this, it will not be your will. It will be his will. God will give you the will, the desire of your heart, when your heart is changed to the desire of God. You know what? I get everything I want from God. You know why? All I want is God. All I want is a relationship with Him. All I want is a prayer life with Him. All I want is His Word. All I want is His love. All I want is His passion. That's all I want. I don't need these things of the world. I don't need to be sidetracked and fooled by these conjuring up of spiritual movements. Because a lot of spiritual movements that we see today are conjured by men and not led by God. So, are we truly seeking that? The secret place of prayer. These 3 points about personal prayer. Make your request known to God in private. Seek God's face more than His hand. Be serious enough to put your body in stress, fasting in sackcloth, right? Do you really want to have this relationship with God? Because it's all down to a personal thing, right? It's so personal, right? I've got to want it enough to do it. The only person that needs to know that I'm praying or fasting is my wife, right? Because we're one flesh, right? And if she's cooking, she needs to know not to cook extra. If I'm away in a quiet place, she needs to know not to come kick down the door and say, "Why haven't you taken out the garbage yet?" You know, she never, ever, ever, out of 23 years of marriage, has ever, ever, ever said that. So don't think that that's that. Y'all know my wife. She is so much more full of grace and mercy. I would kick on the door and say, "Why haven't you done that?" Anyhow, that's why. So these 3 things. Make your request known to God in private. There's nothing wrong with corporate prayer. Okay? There really isn't. There's nothing wrong with coming together and praying. But if I'm dealing with something, oh, thank you, Lord, for this. There was a man who brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples, right? And they couldn't cast out the demon. Then he brought him to Jesus and he cast him out. Then his disciples, after that had happened, they pulled Jesus to the side and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, this type only comes out with prayer and fasting. Who here have been struggling with sin that you could not win? Amen? Have you tried prayer and fasting? I tell you, there's some power in fasting. I'll be honest with you, I'm wrestling with YouTube. And y'all know I've confessed this for a long time now, because it sucks my life away. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, like you say, Tom, you can't read and pray all the time. Funny, I think you can read and pray all the time. But you know, you think that you need some stimulating, so you say, well, I'm going to watch this thing, right, on World War II special or what. You're going to watch something. But that little two-minute clip turns into another two-minute clip, turns into another, and then before you know it, you've been watching StupidTube for 3.5 hours, right? And what have you done? You've just...
Yep.
Thank you. Yep. You know what you've done, right? I don't have to put an adjective there, but that time is gone. You can't take it back. Could have that time be better spent in prayer and fasting? Now, there's different kinds of fasting in the Bible. Although I think when it talks about fasting in the Bible, it's normally talking about food. But they didn't have the internet then, right? Do you know that you can fast from the internet? Do you know that you can turn off your stupid phone and get smarter? Amen? Reading the Word of God will make you no man's fool. It will make you God's tool. Oh, wow, that rhymes. You could rap that one. Seek his face. Request, make your request to God in private. And the greatest thing I have ever seen God do in my personal life was not because of an outward cry before people, but when I was broken and contrite and a hole in my life, right? There's a hole in my life. And I couldn't confess it to my brother Joshua because he wouldn't understand. He hasn't been there. He wouldn't understand. The only one that could really understand is Jesus, because when I was going through that in that hole, he was there with me. And he did dry my eyes with the tears. And he did put ointment on my broken skin. And he did minister to me while I was in the midst of that. And as I struggled with that later in years, as I was a grown man, and I couldn't tell it to anybody else on the planet, I came to God in prayer. You know what God said? Joshua, you said it earlier. Forgive them first. So I had to sit down, and this person that was in my life had passed away years ago. But I had to sit down, and I wrote them a forgiveness letter. Yeah, I know what you did. It was horrible. It was bad. I forgive you of this burden. I forgive you of what you did. I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. By the grace of God, you're set free. And you know what that did? I got set free. I got set free. And that only happened as I brought it to God in prayer. And God spoke to my heart, you've got to forgive that person. Listen, Curtis, they weren't driving nails in your hand. You know, and I said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That depth of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. And okay, because it's much further than that. 1 Thessalonians. How often should we pray?
Without ceasing.
Hey, amen. Praise God. Sounds like somebody reads their Bible here. I would tell you, I'm so blessed to be a part of this body because we do read our Bibles here and it does change our life. There's no But because of the sake of time, we're going to start in 17. The whole thing's good. Read it all, right? Read it all. Study it all. Apply it to your life. But in verse 15, okay. See that no one render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right. Do you want the will of God in your life? What did he just tell us? Everybody says, ooh, God, I want your will. I'm going to hold up my phone and I'm going to wave back and forth until I get your... Wait a second. That's not what he said. He didn't say, hold up your phone, wave back and forth, and pray to the band. Right? He didn't say that. Listen to what... Rejoice. All right. Well, first, don't render evil for evil to anybody. Well, who's going to revenge me if I don't revenge myself? Oh, God. When God pays somebody back on your account, it's way better than what you could do. What were you going to do? Slit their tires? You know, the worst that you could do is some stupid thing like that. Speak evil of them? Big deal. But if you bring it to God in secret, we just read that in the Psalms today, where Absalom was coming after David, and he was praying to him, and he prayed, God, slap him on the cheek and break his teeth out. That's what he prayed. Absalom didn't do well after that. Amen? Right? So anyhow, he says, pray in that, rejoice evermore. So when men are treating you badly, roughly, unfairly, rejoice in that. For great is your reward in heaven. Jesus told us that. Pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? Well, don't stop. All right? That's simple enough for me. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking God. Pray without ceasing is bringing in a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. If I'm to live a life of prayer, then verses 18 through 22 must be primary in my life. And verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Memorizing the wrong Bible, because I memorized this in a different translation. So anyhow, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's in Christ Jesus and it concerns you, okay? Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecy, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Tom, what does prove mean? What's it mean? Come on. Starts with T and ends in S. Test. Test. Prove it. Test it. Prove this thing. What are we? Are we seeing? How do you prove it? Well, you ask God. Show me what truth is. If you ask for the truth of God, guess what you're going to receive? The truth of God. You might not like it, right? But it will be truth. Amen? And so prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from how much appearance of evil? Oh, wait a second. I've got to abstain from evil?
Appearance of evil.
Amen. Even if it looks bad, don't do it. Right? Well, God, I didn't really do that. I just looked like I was going to do that. It was in my heart. So it just, you know, I'm not... Going to a bar to witness to somebody, that's an appearance of evil. You might be only drinking ginger ale. But when somebody in that bar sees Pastor Curtis sitting at that bar with a drink and a little umbrella in it, a little cherry, because if you ever drink ginger ale, that's how you drink it, right? With an umbrella and a cherry in it. Anyhow, as you're drinking that and somebody sees it, right? And they say, Curtis is drinking a Jack and Coke or whatever, you know. They don't know what I'm drinking, but that's the appearance is that I'm in a bar and I can be talking to them about Jesus Christ. Folks, don't do that, because your appearance, what people see about you, is what they believe about God. So abstain from every appearance of evil. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's coming. There's coming that day of righteousness, of holiness. I need to live a lifestyle that doesn't even appear to be wicked before man. I need to live a lifestyle. Purify your hands, you sinners. Right? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. But purify your hands, you sinners. As Dan said, with fasting sackcloth and ashes, he prayed to the Lord and made his confession and said, and if you read the rest of Daniel chapter 9, you'll see what he confessed. He confessed his sin, the sin of the nation, the unrighteousness of the people of God. That's what he was confessing and seeking of the Lord. All right, and the prayers of the wicked will not be heard. And I've got a bunch of scripture down here, so I'm just going to blow through some of them for you, because a lot of folks say, it doesn't matter who you are, just pray. If there's not a pray of confession of sin before you start praying, remember, you're not getting any further than the ceiling tile above your head. Proverbs 5:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Okay, do you believe that? Ask yourself, amen. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God's word is true. I love you, Joshua. It doesn't matter if you believe it, what God said. He resists, he's far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Job 35:12-13. There they cry, but none giveth an answer. Because of the pride of the evil man, surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Wow. God, he's not even going to regard. If you're harboring wickedness in your heart, if you're prideful in your heart, God's not even going to regard what you have to say. We all have had kids, right? How many times have we not regarded what they were saying because they were saying it in the wrong spirit? Talk to the hand, right? That's what my mom would, well, my mom never said that. She smacked me with the hand. Right? Listen to the hand. And you hear that ringing in your ear for a little while. Psalm 18:40-41. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies. There you go, my brother. Give me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cry, but there was no one to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. They cried to the Lord, but they were wicked, and he didn't even answer their prayer. They were about ready to be slaughtered. All right, they're going to be chopped into little bitty pieces. They were crying out to God, God, help me, help me, help me, God, help me, help. But they were wicked in their heart, and God didn't even hear their prayer. Wow. I have Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Well, all right, I think we get the gist of that in Proverbs. We won't go there simply because of time. This is how I know that God is seeking a holy people, and his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but, I can't read that word.
Contrarywise.
Thank you. Contrarywise. But contrarywise, blessing. All right. Simple point here. If they're mean to you, love them anyhow. If they're evil to you, love them anyhow. Give them, contrary wise to their evil stuff, give them a blessing. Right? Love them anyhow. Knowing that ye are therefore called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good of days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensue. Thank you. I love you guys that know all those silent letters. Yeah, to pursue. Yeah, to go after that. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Wow. Whose side do you want to be on? How do I get in this right spot with God?
First, seek His face. When I seek the face of God, and when I really get God in focus in my life, guess what I see? Adjustments that need to be made in me. All right? And I know that these adjustments can't just be done by pure stick-to-itiveness, right? I can't make them happen. So what do? I fast and I pray. God, I'm struggling with this thing. I've been struggling with it for years. I can't get over it. Help me. And God says, well, I'll help you. Help yourself, right? Not, and I don't want that to be taken out of context, because there's so many people that says God only helps those who help themselves. That's not Scripture. God helps those who can't help themselves. What I can't do, God can do, but I need to understand that I have an authority over my flesh, and that happens through physical fasting. I have the power because God gave it to me. How do I know that I can have victory in these things? If I can control my primal need to eat or want to eat, it's not the need, because there will come a time that you need to eat or you're going to die, right? But that's like 40 days out. You start your fast, you got at least 40 days. Moses had 80, right? Think about that. How skinny we would be if we didn't eat for 40 days or 80. Anyhow, that's just the physical aspect. God, for Jesus and Moses, and even Daniel going for 21 days, 3 weeks he prayed, without tasting any good, any delectable foods. But he prayed and he fasted. God met him in the middle of that. He supplied all of their needs. He met them. He fed them with manna that we don't know. He gave them water to drink that we don't understand. He gave them ability to conquer the evil that was within them, not because of their tenacity to do it, but because of the grace of God that filled them as they kept their flesh in check. Church, we need to consider our prayer life, right? We need to consider our prayer life. Why are my prayers not answered? Well, the Bible tells me because I want to consume them on my own lust. But the Bible also tells me that He will give me the desires of the heart. He'll answer my prayers if I pray in His will. So what is His will? I don't see His will properly. How can I not see His will? Well, first of all, it's in the Word of God. And if you're not understanding the Word of God, maybe it's time to fast. Maybe it's time to fast and truly seek God. It will help you physically and spiritually. Fasting is not a bad thing. It's a really, really good thing. I have Philippians 4, 4 through 9, 1 John, a lot of 1 John in here. But I love you, and I think you get the gist. Do you get the gist of it? The fullness that God is trying to call us to is a fullness of brokenness. All right? He wants to be broken, us to be broken, and of a contrite heart, truly seeking His will above ours. And when we get that right, we will see the hand of God in a mighty way. Oh, I'd love to see a revival. In fact, like Tom says, I think we've seen revival in little spots and bits here in this body. I've seen dead teaching die and live teaching come to life here. I've seen the dead in people rise up right here. I've seen the blind come to sight, and I've seen the deaf come to hearing right here in this body. But it's not because of anything we did. We just preached the Word. And those who had an ear to hear what the Spirit said to the church, they grew. They grew mightily. And it's not because of my speaking. It's not because of Tom's teaching, but it's because of a people group desiring to know God enough to walk before Him as a holy people, cleansing their hands, purifying their hearts, desiring the righteousness of God over top of the lust of their own flesh. There's a lot more to say on the subject, but it's 12:30. I love you guys. Who wants to close in prayer? Anybody got a word from the Lord? Want to add to, take away?
close. You got time, will you?
Sure. Just one thing. I'm not sure I ever said you can't pray and read 24/7.
Yeah.
I think what I said, you're right. Study.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Amen. Amen. Again, words make a difference. Yeah. You know, I was trying to knock him off of his white horse, but he jumped right back on it. So.
Father God, you are good to us.
Yes, Jesus.
We do thank you that revival comes within each believer, that you don't need to be in Kentucky, neither in Jerusalem. But revival comes within your own soul, within your own heart, and within a body of a little congregation in Caledonia, New York. Lord, I thank you for Curtis. I thank you that you have put him on the straight and narrow path of understanding Scripture and preaching Scripture and feeding your sheep through him. I thank you for the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, and that we could glean from it daily. That we would be better people as we leave here today than when we first came in. That we would endure till the end and not the cares of this world bother us and upset us and cause us to live in fear and anxiety. You have overcome all these things. Who do we think we are that we will not overcome through you? Lord, you said in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. My Savior has overcome the world. And we will overcome, Lord. Cause our hearts to draw larger to you, to draw nearer to you as we see the days getting wicked and more wicked. And you told us that they're not going to get better. But as this world gets darker and darker, that we should be lights in a dark world. Lord, use us in a darkening world. Use us to a lost people. Use us, Lord, to share the gospel that we, that day when you appear in the clouds, you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Y'all go have a strong week. Love one another recklessly. Amen.